Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to Haggai chapter 2. We've been working ourselves through this area. I thought perhaps, even though we stopped short last week, I thought maybe we were done after last week. But at the same time, most of this week, I have felt like we did not finish it. And that we needed to at least get through another section, another little bit of it that we didn't quite get to. But we've been talking here in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, about this prophetic word that God spoke through the mouth of Haggai for our generation, for us today. And he makes this statement. He says, the glory of this latter house shall be, which again, these are, yes, Haggai wrote them, Haggai spoke them, but it's the word of God being spoken forth. And so God says shall be, and so when he says shall be, he's saying, I'm betting it all. He said, I'm setting it all on this, that it's going to be this way. And so he said, shall be greater than of the former house. So the glory of the latter house shall be, it'll be impossible for not to be, shall be greater than that of the former house. And then he says the Lord of hosts, which I like that. I like the Lord of hosts, because when he says the Lord of hosts, he says, I've got all of heaven backing me on this. So you can guarantee it's going to be done. And in this place, I will give shalom, says the Lord of hosts. So we over the past several weeks, have taken a look at this. We looked at what the former house was. The former house was the temple, was Solomon's temple, the temple that Solomon built, the beauty, the majesty of that place, the place that that as the Queen of Sheba, a rich and wealthy lady of her own, saw how things were conducted around it and how it looked. She fainted and just kind of passed out because it was such a, you know, woe is me, oh my goodness gracious. It was that immaculate. And so we took a gander at that and simply saw that we narrowed everything out to this point, these three points, is that in that former house was the goodness of God, was the presence of God, and was the power of God. Those three things were the majority things in there. Matter of fact, when Moses says, show me your glory, and God said, I'll have my goodness pass before you. And in context, he says, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go anywhere, right? And then when God showed him his goodness or showed him his glory, he showed him all the things that he had done, which we're going to look at today, as really he showed him the power of God. The power, the goodness, and the presence of God is the glory of God. So he said the glory of the latter house, which again, we looked at that, and we researched that, and we found the latter house is you and I. It's the church. We are the latter house. And so he said the glory that's in the latter house shall be greater than that which was in the former house. So in other words, the goodness of God that was represented in the temple, in Solomon's temple, will be greater represented in us. The presence of God that was in Solomon's temple, again, remember Solomon's temple had the veil there that separated everybody from the presence of God. And now that veil has been ripped in two. So the presence of God that was in the former house is greater in us, because we don't have the veil any longer. It's been ripped in two, entwined. And then the third thing, and that was the power of God. And the power of God that was in that former house would be greater in us, in this New Testament house. I love that fact that we should, and this was what we taught one of the second weeks on this, is that there should be a hunger, there should be an anticipation, and it should never leave your mouth that the glory of God is going to be on your life today. It's in your life today, it's on your life today, it's flowing from your, there should be a hunger, there should be an anticipation, and it should be something you never let out of your mouth. You should talk about it. When you wake up in the morning, Monday morning, Monday, rainy days and Mondays, you know, always get me down. No, Monday morning, you need to wake up with the anticipation and with it on your mouth that today the glory of God will be manifest in me and through me. I will see the power, I will see the presence, and I will see the goodness of God in my life today. Why? Because, listen, on a daily basis in the temple, the presence of God dwelt there. On a daily basis, the goodness of God was available there. On a daily basis, the power of God was available there. Why would it be, if it's greater on us, if it's greater for us, then why would it be any different for us? Can I hear an amen? Amen. We should on a daily basis be loaded with His benefits because we are the latter day, the latter house, the latter temple. Now, last week what we did, we got going and we want to take a little closer look at the goodness, the presence, and the power of God. And we started with the goodness of God and we just simply went through scripture time and time again where it talks about the presence of God or about the goodness of God. That's His character. That's His defining quality. He's good. He does good. He is good. And then we dealt with some all that includes. That word good means just bountiful, best, better, cheerful, prosperity, health, strength. All that kind of stuff is included in that word good. And so we've got here that in this temple, we need to have that at a daily basis. Now, some people would say, "Well, Pastor Thad, I don't know if we can do it on a daily basis because we got stuff. This is human life. This is stuff. Some days you're better than the others." No, again, what do we have to be hungry for it? We have to anticipate it, and we have to talk about it. I am the temple of God. I have the glory of God that dwells in me. Therefore, I have the goodness of God flow in me and through me and out of me every day of my life. I have more than enough. I am wealthy. I'm abundant. I have more than enough. That should be your confession every day of your life. And you should have a full anticipation of good things happening to you day in and day out. I feel like probably within, I don't know, this next month, it might be as soon as the next time I preach, that I'm supposed to teach again and remind us again of favor of God. That we need to wake up in the morning anticipating the favor of God. Often we put more faith in the fact that, well, I know the people I work with. I know the people I live with. I just know how they are. And I know that I expect this. And we get more faith in what they do than in what God has promised us. And He said the goodness in the former house, in the latter house, will be greater than the goodness in the former house. Woo! We need to, man, I tell you what, we need to expect that. And so we dealt with that last week, so I'm not going to deal with it much more today. But we got to be believing for the goodness of God, beloved. Second thing that we dealt with was the presence of God. And again, the word that I just absolutely loved, that what was Moses's word in Exodus 33, where God says, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." And Moses said, "Good, because if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to move another inch." Amen. And that needs to be what our mentality is every day. Is, Lord, I want your presence to go with me to work because I know your presence is going to make the difference at work. It's going to make the difference with the goodness of God at my work. I want to create an atmosphere at my work, at my job, at my family reunions, at my family gatherings, at the basketball court, at my school, wherever. I want to create an atmosphere at all times where the presence of God can be with me because where the presence of God is, there is liberty, there's joy, there's peace, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. And I love that. If I'm going to work and I'm not going with the presence of God, I don't want to go to work. Over the weekend, if you're going to Walmart and you're not going to Walmart without the glory of God and the presence of God on you, you shouldn't want to go. You don't know what's going to happen at a Walmart. And I don't say that lack of faith. I'm just simply saying I want the goodness and the favor and the blessing of God to be around me so that when I go to the Walmart, it's the safest Walmart in the country. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to go there without the presence of God. Amen. So that presence going out with me. And so we talked about in His presence, His fullness of joy, in His presence, enemies drop. In His presence, thanksgiving and praise are the key to His presence. It's never God's fault when you feel distance, because He's the same yesterday and forever. And He'll never leave you or forsake you, right? It's you've moved, not Him. The fifth thing is that you are never intended to live outside the presence. In other words, you're created to live in that presence. He walked with Him in the cool of the day. And then the final thing is that when we... It is something. I always tell you, make plans, I'm telling you, it's best to make your plans in the morning, because if you tithe every day, your time with God, you tithe it, which means you give the top, you give the best of your day, the rest of the day, the rest will be blessed. If you give Him your best, the rest will be blessed. And so I challenge you to do better and you say, maybe in the evening is when you can give Him bigger time. But at the first of the day is when you give Him the best, the primary, the top. Now, just a thought here, just to let you understand this, is your tithe doesn't always need to be the most money you give. The tithe just needs to be the top. All right. So in other words, if you get paid, and let's say you get paid $300. Okay, we'll just say $300. And so you bring your tithe $30. It's your tithe. You write that out. That is just the top. That makes sure that the other 90% remains under the blessing of God. That makes sure that your household remains under the blessings of God. That makes sure your mind, your health, your body, your everything that you have, your cars, your AC unit at home. Thank God for AC units at home. That all those kind of things stand in the blessings of God. Amen. That's what Malachi tells us. So that makes, but it does not mean that doesn't have to be the best, the biggest amount. It does make sense to everybody, right? Because then God says, okay, now I want you to give above and beyond that. And the seed you might sow might be 50, might be 60, might be 100, it might be 10. I don't, that's neither here nor there. But then you give the best you can give after that. So my point is that in the morning you might want to get up and spend 10 minutes or tithe the beginning of your day where you say, this I'm giving to you, God, and I'm honoring you with the best, the first of my day. Before I do anything else, I'm not letting anything else on my plate. I'm not vacuuming the house. I'm not dusting the house. I'm not doing a load of clothes. I'm not doing that. I'm giving you the top of the day, and then everything else comes in after that. And later in the day, you might be able to sit down and do more of a Bible study or might pray. You follow me on that? But when you start the best of your day with His presence, the rest of the day is blessed with His presence following you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we can get discouraged if we're not great. I'm not a great, wonderful morning person. I was relieved the other day when Jessica, had a hard time getting up in the morning, because she has a longer procedure in the morning to get ready than I do. I don't have as long a procedure. It's one of the blessings of being a man, really. And so we've just come into it on weekdays, whatever. She doesn't always need to be at work at the same time. She used to, So I just tell her, wake me up a half hour before you're ready to leave, and I'll be ready to go. And so whenever she wakes me up, she's always seems to be like moving around and all that kind of stuff, ready to go. And the other day, she actually didn't want to get out of bed. And I thought, she's human. Wow. She's, that's crazy. Because she usually looks like she's like bouncing around in the morning. Got to get to work. Got to go. Throwing things at me. But I'm not necessarily a great morning person. To get up earlier than I need to get up just is not great for me. Others of you might find yourself in that same place. Now, some of you all are probably smart and get to bed like at 9 o'clock at night or something like that. So you do get up at a decent hour in the morning. And so your mornings are a little easier to get up and to give quality time in the morning. But if we make a priority to at least give something in the morning, give our top to the Lord, then the rest of it's blessed, and you can give your bigger seed later in the day. Amen. Just an encouragement to you, because I do believe God's calling us more into that time. I mean, that's what He's been talking to us all year about, right? But today, what I want to talk about, I wasn't totally sure because based on what I had last week, I didn't have a ton necessarily to share with you. Because I knew I was going to try to squeeze all 3 points in the message, and I never got there. And so I was like, well, Lord, what else do you have me to share? And so He did give me a little bit more on this. This morning we're just going to deal with that area of the power of God that's in this temple. Again, the power of God that was in the other temple and the former temple was great, was powerful. Man, when it would move upon people, I mean, they would just drop in His presence. And that kind of presence is in us without any filter. I love that fact that the power of God that is in us does not have a filter on it. Back in those days, there had to be the filter. They could not get it in its fullness. And God's plan is for us to have it without a filter. Now, unfortunately, because of how we live, because of things that we do. Matter of fact, it's kind of based on what we've been talking about on Sunday nights about discipleship. Because of that, we don't necessarily make room. We kind of filter how much power we get because of what we, because of how we live and what we do. And that's what we're going to get into. I'm so excited about tonight. I'm kind of excited and nervous at the same time. Because of what we're going to talk about, but it's going to be good. You're going to enjoy it. That's tonight, though. But the power of God is on us now to a place that, beloved, the Old Testament saints, that they would have it at times when it'd come upon them. It would come upon them, and they would see the miraculous happen. It would come upon them. And, beloved, this power now dwells in us. If we go over to Ephesians, I believe it is, 3. It says, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So in other words, because of the power that's working in us and the glory that's in the church, That's that whole thing. Because the power that works in us, we are able to do consistently, exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we ask or think. We have that power residing in us at all times. Again, I'm going to say without filter. Now, again, the question becomes, will you filter it? Will you limit what you make available in your life? Jesus didn't filter what He allowed in His life. We were talking on Wednesday night about the fact that he lived in fasting. He didn't have His disciples do it, but He lived in it. He operated in the fasting. He spent time with God on a daily basis. He would often tell His disciples, hey, you guys go to the other side. I'm going to stay here and spend some time with God, praying. I mean, he always created an atmosphere for the power of God to manifest in his life. Always. Therefore, guess what was always manifesting in his life? The power of God. He was constantly having that power of God manifest in him. But again, we are able, he is able to do more in us because of the power that works in us. Now again, we can say it like this because it doesn't change anything. The power of the latter house is greater, shall be greater than the power of the former house. Now, when we want to start thinking about the things of God and the power of God, I told you a little bit that we'd take a look back when God showed Moses his hind parts, the first thing he showed him was Genesis chapter 1. See, when we're talking about this power, there's two types of power that there are in the Word of God. The first is a power that is an authoritative power. Jesus says, "This power I give to you," and it's the authority to use His name, the authority in Jesus' name. I command that to happen. In other words, in and of ourselves, we don't necessarily, we've used this illustration of the police officer who stops traffic. When he's standing there like that, you're not stopping because you realize what kind of danger he could do if he just, you know, he's the Hulk and he's going to put his hand down there and smush in the front end. I mean, he could scratch your hood when he goes flying over it. But you're stopping based on the authority he has as the police officer, the authority that's given to him. And so there's the authority that works in us because we have, because of what Jesus said with, and we, in the name of Jesus, you stop right there. And the enemy will stop because of that authority. But then there's a type of power in the New Testament, it is the Greek word dunamis. And it just means raw, explosive power. It's might, energy, force. I'm going to use the word explosive power. In other words, it is that power. It is the Hulk power. It's the power that has the power to do things that you couldn't do on your own. That's the dunamis power. When Jesus, and I know you could say that there's a mixture of the two. But Jesus would cause storms to stop and he would cause sickness to leave. And a lot of that I know you could say is the exousia, which is the authoritative power. But it's also inside of this, where you are doing things that you shouldn't be able to do. And that's what we're dealing with here. When Jesus created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it into existence. And again, the Big Bang Theory. God spoke it and explosion. It happened. And again, that's the same thing as with us. We have the power to create with our mouths. We speak a thing and there's explosions happening all around that you may not see at that time, but things are exploding around you to create that which has come off your mouth. That's the dunamis power that we're dealing with here that resides in us. The dunamis power of God is the power of God that will drive a person just to lay there flat and not be able to get up and minister. Amen? And so Genesis chapter 1 is full of that explosive power. God spoke and the bang happened. Now, beloved, that is God's desire for this latter house, for this temple, for His body, for His church. And as we begin pressing in for His glory, we are simply telling God, God, I want that power of God to flow in me and flow through me. I don't want to just live a powerless life. I want to live a life that keeps the enemy on the run. I want to live a life that everywhere I go, things change, explosions happen. In the spirit realm or in the, you know what I'm saying. That there's change happening. The world, you hear explosion, you're thinking destruction. And in the spirit realm, when you hear explosion, you're hearing restoration and health and strength. So when the glory of God is in us, we shall see the manifestations of His power, and it should be poured out of every area of our lives. We should be the most powerful people on the face of this earth. What kind of power are we talking about? We're talking about the creative power of God. We're talking about the miraculous power of God. How He stacked up waters, moved waters, opened the earth, commanded storms to stop. We're talking about how about the plagues of Egypt? How about the miracles in the wilderness, the water flowing from the rock? That's the dunamis power of God. That's the explosive creating something that was not there and making something there. Psalm 105 verse 37 talks about that time of between the plagues and the miracles. And He says He brought them forth with all the silver and gold, and there's not one feeble person among them. That's the power of God. That's that dunamis power where he changes, explodes on the scene and changes it. Now, beloved, we learn these things and we can read them. Beloved, we read the Bible too often like a history book of something that has happened. And that's a fault. Because if all it is a history book, then we might as well be reading Donald Trump's book or Bill Gates' book or I heard someone who changed his football career by reading Vince Lombardi's book. I mean, you might as well just read those because it's just Zig Ziglar's books. You can learn good practical things from them too if it's just a history book. But it's not. It's a family book. It's a glory book. It's a book that says, hey, here's somebody that had that glory in them just like is in you, or had that glory come upon them just like is in you, and here's what they did with it. The boom! Things changed. It's a book that simply is there to show you if you will believe in the glory, if you'll anticipate the glory, if you'll operate in the glory, you'll have this. If you don't, you'll have that. Romans tells us that because we ignored the things of God, they made the glory of the incorruptible God into a person who acted and operated just like mere men. So we read that a couple weeks ago. And so instead of living the dynamic, explosive, energetic power of God in our lives, where we're seeing things operating around us constantly in that level, we're walking like mere men, living up and down lives, living victorious, not victorious, good, not good, living, hey, did you see that? And hey, I hope no one saw that. Lives. And God is telling us, beloved, that He wants us to live the glory of God on a daily basis. Not a thing of the past. Not a thing that was just in the latter house. But it is active in the lives of His children right now today. I think about it, man. I think the early church. That's why we started reading the book of Acts, studying the book of Acts, because that early church and the dunamis power of God that happened there. The life-changing power of God. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And bam, a man's life was changed. They were full of His power. And they were the beginning of the latter house. And for some reason, that's why they saw constant miracles, salvations, increase to the kingdom of God. And for some reason now, the church has become no more than a lion's club. You're just a club. Now, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We've become a meeting place on Sundays, Wednesdays, sometimes on Wednesdays, sometimes barely on Sundays. I showed up once today, this week. And we can't figure out why we're not living the power. It's because the churches have come and they have watered everything down. They have liquefied everything in the church and they have made it to where there ain't no power. You know why? Because power might offend somebody. Power might get under someone's skin. Power might make somebody nervous. Right? If the power of God shows up, we might have to explain what just happened. And so it becomes more important for us to water everything down, to go ahead and allow and to welcome sin in the church. Because you know what? We need to pay the bill somehow. And that's never God's intention for the church. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't really understand how you can be called a church. I understand in the government's eyes. I don't understand how you can be called the church if you don't have traces of the glory of God being seen. Amen. The goodness, the presence, or the power of God. And again, am I saying full blown? That needs to be our desire. That needs to be our passion. But there's a lot of churches that don't even have traces of it. Their worship is no more than soulish, instrumentalist, and singing and dancing and light shows that move the flesh. To be, in other words, all the physical, emotional things that are going on and going, oh, this is just really wonderful. And they've not been moved by the Spirit at all. Now, I say that. I'm not judging any church that has a light show. I'm not judging any churches that have smoke machines. I'm not judging any church, that turns out their lights for worship and praise. To make sure they get the full effect. I am not doing that. But there are too many of them that has taken place of the power of God in their church. They get their emotions confused with their spiritual power being juiced. And we got to guard ourselves on that. I keep looking on Amazon, and you know I'm to the point. I'm close. Probably in maybe a week or so, I'm gonna get. And once I buy them, we'll just figure out how we mount it all then. But we're gonna get a high definition projection screen TV because we can make it bigger, and it's better. It'd be better. We're gonna get high definition paint on the wall. We're going to get it framed out. We're going to get it centered. We're going to move the stage. We're going to take the two ends here and put it out front to come out a little bit. We're going to kind of center Jessica and Steve a little bit. Maybe Todd will be down on the lower level. Not because he's lower level, just to spread it out. And then we'll have all that kind of stuff. And then I'm hoping to bring the, somehow get the, projection screen right here, and it'll shoot right over top of my head, and it'll be centered in there, which is my. And I'm so excited about that. And then I'm believing God for all that kind of stuff. And we're and the Lord starts showing me lights for the stage, backlights to shine up on the wall, and to do all that kind of stuff, and to hang. And I'm going, okay, we got other things that we're just believing God to get done on the stage right now, and you're showing me more. So I'm not against that. I'm absolutely not against that at all. Anybody that thinks the Pastor Ted thinks most churches aren't good. I'm just simply saying if it takes the place of the presence of the power of God, then you're wasting your time. You're not a church. The church is a place for the glory to dwell. For the glory to manifest. That's why I want to hear from God during our praise and worship. That's why I want to hear from God. That's why I want to have Him speak to us through the message. Not just, I'm not opposed to 30-minute sermons. I've not been called to preach them very often. But just not that little sermonette for Christianettes who go outside and play with bayonets. Again, I just say that because of the old ones, cigarettes. That's not here nor there. I'm just simply, marionettes, right? I want to be more than that. I want to be what God said for His church to be. I want to manifest what the early church has and greater. I want to be somebody and be a ministry, be a church that has built upon the early church, not trying to reach what the early church was. Think on that one for a second. Because if the church was at its best point in the early church, there's something wrong. Because God teaches a pattern in Daniel where it says at the end of day there will be an increase of all things. So there should have been from the time of the early church starting, there should have been an increase of all things until when you get to now, we're peeking out. And instead, we're just simply, churches are getting by, watering things down, watering down what they believe, watering down what they receive, watering down what the Word of God says, trying to get real soulish and real fleshly about everything. And meanwhile, people are going to hell. People are dying too early. Things are going on that shouldn't be going on. And you and I have got that explosive power in us to do something about it. And we can be too involved in trying to make everybody feel comfortable. All right. Go to Ephesians 1. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're at here, is that prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And he said, pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Then he says, he prays four different specific things that he wants for that church. The first thing he prays, I believe it's in verse 17, I could be wrong, but he says, I want them to know who I am. I want them to have an understanding of who I am. As a matter of fact, let's just start there, John. Verse 17, Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit and wisdom, the revelation of the knowledge of Him. So the first thing he prays that if you're going to live how you need to live, you need to have an understanding of who God is. If you don't know who He is, you're going to always fall short. You're always going to not want. If Allison and Ryan didn't realize their mom and dad were millionaires, they would not expect as much from us. Right? You follow me? If their mom and dad were millionaires. And then they were like, "Well, no, we're kind of poor. We just don't have a whole lot, and all that kind of stuff." Then they would not ask us for money. They'd walk around bumming it. They'd run around borrowing everybody else's money because they didn't have the money for the. You follow me on that? And that's how a lot of Christians are, because they don't know that their God's a good God. They don't know that He's a powerful God. They don't know He's an overwhelming God. So they don't know who He is. So they keep walking far below what He's prepared for them. So that's the first thing, is the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. In other words, how we've always worded that is that who we are, who we've been created to be, who He's called us to be. So we need to know who He is, we need to know who we are, and then he says, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So we need to know who He is, who we are, and we need to know what we've been given, what we have. We need to know the promises of God. We need to know the inheritance that comes on us because we're the child of God. There was a story that we read a long time ago about the lady whose parents had died when she was a little one, and nobody knew knew anything, and so she ended up being raised in an orphanage and being raised in poverty. She was raised very at some point, one of her family members tracked her down and to see how she was doing. And she was like, well, I'm getting by, I'm doing this. And they said, why are you getting by? Why are you doing this? And she said, well, I didn't get anything from mom, dad, they died. And I've just been barely making it by. And they say, why? And she goes, because they didn't leave me anything. Oh, I think you're mistaken. And they went through some channels and they realized that the mom and dad had left her well off, and millions of dollars or whatever would have been the equivalent at that time. And she didn't know what had been given to her, so she was busy living way down here, but the sky was the limit. Changed her life forever once she figured it out. That's how that is. But verse 19, notice what it says. And what is the exceeding, say exceeding.
Exceeding.
Greatness, say greatness.
Greatness.
Say them both together. Exceeding greatness. All right, what does that bring to your mind? Exceeding greatness. Just a little bit. Itty-witty-witty bit. Just a little bit, right? Yeah. Exceeding greatness kind of gets you the feeling that we don't need to try to put a number on it, right? Because it's not just great, it's exceeding greatness, right? So in other words, there's no limit. There's no stopping. There's no, right? So it says, and this is what he prayed. He wants to know who he is, who they are, what they have, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So in other words, he wants us to know what we can do. He wants us. He prays for that church at Ephesus. He said, along with all the stuff of what you have, who you are, who God is, I want you to have an understanding of the power that is working in you to do what is greater than anything you ever thought you could do. Because the church has been walking around not knowing the power that's in them and has been watching the enemy walk over and trample over their stuff. And we've been given both the authority and the dunamis, explosive power, to change this world and to change the lives around us and to change our friends and change their lives. And we've been walking not knowing. Until we have that revelation, we simply will continue to be a social club with the name of Jesus on the door. But we are not a social club. We are the latter house, and the glory of God is to flow in us and through us. Let me show those to you here quick as we wrap this up. The glory of God, first of all, has to work in you. Go to Philippians chapter 4. They'll call us crazy. They already do. They already do. Whether you heard it or not. Just the more explosive you are, the louder you are. And the louder you are, the louder they are about you. When you have quiet explosions, nobody pays attention. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says this, and this is one everybody has. I'm not totally sure that it's just for everybody. I know it's for everybody, but I'm not sure that everybody that writes this scripture on their tennis shoes for basketball that it applies to. I'm not sure that everybody that has this scripture on a poster in their bedroom that it applies to, because it kind of applies to the latter house. And if you ain't the latter house, then it doesn't apply to you. But he says, I can do most things, some things, a few things, all things on Sunday. I can do all things through Christ which has given me the power. His power's in me. His power's in me so that I can operate. I can operate and operate in power. And I can do all things. I want to put it this way for you, first of all. This is the first point that it works in you in order for you to accomplish what you've been called to accomplish. That's that grace, that His ability, that's his empowering you to do what you can do, to accomplish what He's called you to accomplish. There's so many people I've seen, and it seems like somewhat the younger generation, the millennials, are so full of the mentality that I don't know. It just seems like I'll do what interests me. I'll do what I, you know, if it's more than that, if it's something that seems like it's outside of what I have the ability to do, I don't want to do it. And God's saying, no, I've put a calling on you, and I have given you the ability to do it. I have given you the power to operate that way. Now do it. But that makes me uncomfortable. But it's too much. But it seems too big for me. Every one of you in here, I think you've heard me tell the story of I knew I was called to be a pastor back. I'm telling you what, when I was single digits old, I knew I was to be a pastor. Everything about my life, I'd try to figure out. Well, if I was like first thing I wanted to be was an auto mechanic, and. But I had to figure out how can be an auto mechanic be a pastor, because I know I'm supposed to be a pastor. Then I got involved in sports and athletics, and football became my major sport, the one I love. I love to play it. I prefer watching football over any other sport. Because I can watch any team play football. I'll flip on a game on Saturday afternoon, Podunk University versus who is at university, and I'll watch the game, because I'll watch anybody play football. Baseball, I'm a Cub fan. So I'll watch Cub fans games all the time, but I just won't watch any baseball game. The Cubs aren't in the World Series. I make sure I know who won. That's it. But I'm a football fan. I loved football. And so when I found out about football, the only thing I wanted to find out is how I can be a football player and a pastor. Because I knew I was supposed to be a pastor. And then different people like Terry Cummings, he was a basketball player for DePaul University, ended up being the NBA for several years. He was a pastor. Reggie White, many of you guys are probably familiar with Reggie White from the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. He was a pastor while playing football. So I'm like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Because I knew I was supposed to be a pastor. Well, then I just kind of... God made sure I realized, no, I just want you to be a pastor. But my first time I ever preached, I preached in a class first. Remember those days, Jessica? Preaching in class? I preached, and I'm standing up in front of all these pastors, and these people are going to be pastors, and they all look like they're just having this easy time, and I'm getting up going, turn with me to... I had to fill up 5 minutes of time. And goodness gracious, man, I had to come up with 3 points and figure out how in the world I'm going to fill up 5 minutes of time with 3 points. Come on, man, give me 25 points. I'll just name them up and I'll come close, right? Because 3 points, I had to find 3 points. And I was boring. I was boring. Oh, Lord, I was boring. Now, some of y'all may say, well, nothing's changed. No, but I think I've gotten better over time. But my first sermons I preached, man, they were horrible. They were horrible. I knew what I wanted to say, but I did not have any, I went into my internship in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Sheboygan, that's just fun to say. Sometimes you just need to sit down and say it for a couple of times, Sheboygan. But I went to be internship, and I started teaching teenagers, and I realized, man, if I had to come on a Wednesday night to hear me preach, I would stay home. And they had their youth service. They had things a little bit different, but they had their youth service on Saturday nights. And so I had to teach on Saturday nights to the high school, and the pastor taught in the middle school. And I was like, man, if I had to come out on a Saturday night to listen to me, I would stay home. I would go find some party. I would find something fun to do. And so I realized, man, Lord, I need your help. I know I've been called, but I need your help. And many of you remember, I'm in the middle of preaching a very boring message. And the Lord said, I want you to scream. And I remember I'm sitting there going, no, I don't do that. I talk in that one note, that monotone note, that's all I do. You know that. That's the way. It's our agreement. I don't change notes when I preach. I'm boring. And that's the way we do things. He goes, I want you to shout. I can't do it. And see, he realized that in myself, I couldn't do it. I was shy. I wasn't there. But he had that ability in me for me to not just preach going, but be going up and down and up and down and in, you know, and all that kind of stuff. He knew it was in me because he placed it in me. And so all I had to do was trust him. And so they were all falling asleep. And I was like, I don't blame you. I'd join you because I'm getting bored. And so I'm preaching away, and all of a sudden I said out loud. It woke everybody. It woke me up. And from that point on, my preaching was never the same. And I trust that I've gotten better. I trust that I'm not there anymore. But my point is that he's put the ability in us to do those, to accomplish those things that we're supposed to be accomplishing. It says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in us and allows us to quicken our mortal bodies. And again, I know there's a lot of levels to that, but I just want you to see that part where it quickens you. It causes your flesh and your soul to do things that it's supposed to be doing that it isn't. That power is working in us. That explosive power. That explosive power, I kind of throw this one part in you. That explosive power is also located right here in your lips. God says, I create the fruit of your lips. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 19. And whatever you say, explosive power happens to change what's around you. Kenneth Copeland says it like this. I did a series based off of that years ago, that you are the greatest prophet over your own life. Because what you speak over your life will come to pass. I could get up here and I could say, Todd, you will do great things. But if Todd's walking around saying, I don't ever do anything good, that's what's come to come pass before what I've said. And Todd will do great things. Amen. Okay, so that's the first thing, is that his power is working in us. But he didn't put it in us just to sit there to soak in. His power works in us, number two, to work out of us. And go to John 14, and we'll just wrap this series up with this scripture. I know we brought it up many times, but this is the glory. This is what God is expecting out of us. John chapter 14, verse 12. That glory is in us to change things around us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. What did Jesus do? Creative miracles. He saw limbs grow back. He saw eyes open. He saw ears open. He saw tongues loosened. He saw the demonic leave. He walked on water. He calmed the waters. He calmed the storms. He saw legs straightened out. He saw people's life changed when they believed on him. And when we allow this power that's in us to work out of us the way it's supposed to, it will change everything. It will change everything. It'll cause the manifest power of God to change whatever situation we're in the middle of. It'll make crooked places straight. It'll move mountains on our behalf. And it'll allow us to lay hands on the sick, and they might recover. Thank you. they shall recover. It'll allow us to get involved in a situation and watch that situation open up. But again, let's just go back to what we've learned. Beloved, we got to be hungry for it. And again, that hunger can't be this mentality of, well, it'd be cool if, it'd be nice if. That can't be that hunger. That cannot be that level. That is just kind of like, it would be nice if. It's got to be a hunger in us. Lord, I want the glory. I want your presence. I want your goodness. And I want that power. I want the power working in me for me to do and accomplish that which you've caused me to, you've called me to accomplish. But I want that power in me to flow from me so that I can lay hands. I can see people's life change because of the power that radiates off me at all times. That power and that glory was so strong on Peter that he would walk down the road and they would bring lame people to place in there. That if the shadow, and again, that word shadow could represent a shadow, but it would be just as right to say that the glory of God that radiated off of him, when it would touch them, they would get up and they'd run away with their couches and their beds in their hands. We got to become hungry for that. But you know what? Have you ever been hungry for something that you know you couldn't have? Like if you're on a diet, you're hungry for a banana split or hot fudge sundae. No, I've never been hungry for those either. But you know you can't have it. Sometimes that's how all the Christians are. Because I would like that power. That would be awesome. I'll get in a relationship with God. I'll go in deeper with God. But you know what? That kind of power, that's for apostle. That's for men, national men of God like Jerry and Jesse and Kenneth. That's for my pastor. That's not for me. And maybe I could get enough to where I could have just a little bit of a little drippings of that power to work on. Maybe I can do that. No, see, we need to have that anticipation. I'm hungry for it, and I know it's me. Why? Because I am that latter house. I am that latter temple. The presence of God, the power of God dwells in me, and it is there for me to see other people changed. And your anticipation, that confidence in that fact, change the way you live. It'll change what you get. Amen? And then just keep speaking it out. Presence, the goodness, and the power of God is on me today and has empowered me to heal the anointed, or to heal the brokenhearted, to heal those that are bruised, see them changed by the power of God. People will be changed by me today because of the Holy Spirit that's in me. No, not by me, by me. I'm going to come up to them and I'm going to share with them the power of God that dwells in me. What was the power of God that changed it? Yeah, I know. And I was the utensil that he used. Quit arguing with me. Let's stand again. Sometimes you guys argue with me like that. Some people do have a hard time saying, oh no, it was all God. It was God. It was his power. If we didn't have the power of God in us, then we could go lay hands on as many people as we want to, and all we'd be dealing with is people calling the authorities that someone's laying hands on us. It keeps touching me. So it's the power of God that makes that point. But see, we are the utensil. We are the thing that he flows through. We are the conduit of his power. And so it is us. Through that power works through us to see people change and see lives healed. So it's okay. It's okay. Don't get too cocky. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. But it's okay to understand. I'm a big deal because the power of God dwells in me. I am a magnificent building. Because I am the latter temple. and that glory, presence, and power of God, goodness of God, makes me an amazing thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love you so much. We are so absolutely overwhelmingly grateful that that glory of God dwells in us. And I recognize without that glory, we're nothing. But because of that glory, we are everything. And again, I'm not saying that to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. But look at me as the power of God goes through me. Because the power of God that's in me will change you. It's okay for us to be out front. It's okay for us to be visible so people can see the glory of God. The world is watching, looking, needing to see the goodness of God, the glory of God manifest on someone. And I am that someone. We are that someone. We begin pressing in greater than we've ever pressed in to partake of what you have for us. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. We're hungry. Hungry. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my passion. It's my desire. Hallelujah. I want to be a church that sees, that is responsible for the power of God exploding all over this town. For things that have been off, for the glory of God to go, and they straighten up. You know what they do with dynamite? Explosions can either be destructive or can help a situation. Amen. They can either use it to bring something down or just to loosen something up. Amen.